The purpose of an open mind. It's the Great Reset on Grand Forks Best Source. Executive Director David Waterman and Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition on the show today. And we'll be talking with these two gentlemen. But first, your show today brought to you by Executive Properties.
Our team of professionals at Executive Properties Construction have over 30 years of experience. We pride ourselves on doing quality work at a reasonable rate for our customers. Just check out what past customers have said in our amazing Google reviews. Then contact us today to get started on a bid for your next project. You can call us at 701-330-1273 or email info@executiveproperties.org. And check it out. We're hiring. We're building our new team for snow removal for this upcoming season. Contact Jess for more info at jess@executiveproperties.org.
All right, and we are back. And again, if you have any questions or comments today on the Great Reset, our number is 701-213-0863. Feel free to text or call. Now, we are not on Facebook or YouTube. That's what we do every Tuesday because we're sick and tired of getting put in Facebook jail. But you can go to gfbestsource.com, click listen now. It is all live. If you want to chat, just click the Twitch link in the upper left corner. And also, if you go to the GFBS Facebook page, the Rumble link is posted there. All right, before we get too much further into the show, it is time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. All right, back in 1992, while being interviewed on MTV, Bill Clinton was asked if he wore boxers or briefs. Well, Clinton replied, boxers. Well, then you fast forward to 2008. U.S. Magazine asked Obama, boxers or briefs? He declined to answer the question. Last week, AARP asked Joe Biden, boxers or briefs? Biden responded, depends.
Ouch.
Well, you see him try to put his sport coat on the other day coming off of the helicopter. He needed help. Anyway, David Waterman, glad you're back.
Thank you, sir.
Gone last week.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple of things I just want to go over like we do.
Just so you know, John, I've never felt it was appropriate to make fun of the mentally disabled.
Okay, depends.
Well, the man pooped his pants, so as president.
We've all been there, haven't we? As of August 3rd, these are Bears numbers, 15,799 deaths from the vaccine. I did find out no more vaccines are needed to get on cruise ships, which is a great start. We're getting the right direction going here. They say Biden's repeat COVID is due to the Paxlovid rebound. Maybe Dr. Dan can explain that a little bit later on. You see the FBI now, they searched Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. I know they took a safe and everything. I heard they didn't find anything, but now they're trying to say he dumped documents in the White House toilets, which I would think there's better ways to get rid of things if that's the case. Isn't he like probably the most sued man in history and really never gets in any trouble? But now this new Inflation Reduction Act, you know, the Dems are saying it's a great thing. Now, this would increase taxes by over $16.7 billion in 2023. For households with incomes under $200,000 a year. Now, these numbers were released by the Joint Committee on Taxation, so I'm not just pulling these out of my lower extremities. And I want to end my little spiel here, a quote from Frederick Douglass. A man's rights rest in three boxes: the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. And I agree with Frederick Douglass wholeheartedly. Oh, yeah. Dr. Dan Stanislawski, to my left, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. Good. I'm wonderfully groovy today.
Yeah.
Great to have you guys back on. And David Waterman is back again also after you kind of, I don't know what happened last week, but everything okay with you?
Everything's fine. Yes,
good,
sir.
Good,
yes,
good, good.
Yes, everything is fine. And I'm glad to be back. It's always good to be at GFBS. A Great Reset. It's I wish that we had a so what's our viewership now? Is it a million yet?
Probably.
A million?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I don't know. I think we got like 8 cents back from one of the
I don't think
we're starting to get paid now from social media.
Nice.
Your check for 7 cents will be coming very soon.
Nice.
That's good.
So, well, I guess I'll like off that stuff you just mentioned, I want to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the most asinine thing I perhaps ever heard. I think that calls for printing 700 billion
dollars. Yeah, a lot of money. There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're trying to print their way out of inflation again. That's the antithesis of how to get us out of inflation. It's apparently a massive green agenda and green business, green energies, green whatever, are going to see a massive boost. And I didn't know that increased 16%, you said, on taxes around 16% for people making...
Well, it'd be 16.7 billion.
Okay. Because 16%, that'd have been... Wow.
Crazy. Yeah, that would have been crazy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Inflation Reduction Act is, again, it's just green agenda being pushed down our throats further. It's going to worsen inflation because, again, it's simple monetary principles. You cannot print your way out of inflation. In fact, you have to, you know, actually reduce the money supply to stop inflation. And this is the opposite of that. So really, really nasty. Paxlovid, the rebound thing, I don't know exactly. I think the drug Paxlovid just kind of recapitulates one aspect of why ivermectin is such a fabulous drug.
Mm-hmm.
I know Pfizer makes Paxlovid, and I think they stand to make about $32 billion on the injections and then another $22 billion with Paxlovid. So there's massive incentive for them to push this. And of course they got their money in the government, which is why Paxlovid's the only thing being pushed. A new study just came out on vitamin D showing it's 65% efficacy in reducing mortality once you get to a certain level. And there's other studies that show that vitamin D's literally reduces mortality 100% if it's above 50 nanograms per deciliter or whatever. So it's like, why is the government not pushing that? Instead, they're pushing Paxlovid.
Well, they're not going to make any money on vitamin D.
Right, yeah. It's corruption, though, and it's costing massive amounts of human lives. Mm-hmm. Needs to end, period. Yeah. So that's the Paxlovid story. And I don't know if you guys want to talk about the Mar-a-Lago. I'm not the guy to talk about
it. Like,
no,
to
but Dan, I'm gonna ask you to reconsider, because look, this is what do they call them now?
Federal Bureau of Instigation.
So if they can do that to the President of the United States, they can do that to anyone.
Oh, sure they can.
Nobody is safe in America. It's very, very clear. Look, there's still people languishing in the Washington gulags who were truly peacefully protesting. See, when a BLM event takes place and they smash windows and burn cars and burn buildings, those are peaceful protests.
Sure, yeah.
But when people hold up American flags and go to the Capitol in order to show their support for America and for Donald Trump, they are now arrested and imprisoned without charges, which is highly illegal, and they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
This is, what is this, Soviet Russia?
Yeah.
Is this communist China?
Isn't it not guilty until proven guilty by a court of law? Isn't that how it's
innocent
supposed to go?
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And you're entitled to a fair trial, and you cannot be held in America without charges.
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal to hold someone without charges. So if the police are going to come and arrest Dan, which I don't know how that – I mean, that doesn't happen that often. Yep. But they've got to charge him with something. If they're going to arrest me, they've got to charge me with something.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just arrest someone
and hold them for like 48 hours or something like that. But, they can't just keep you there forever.
And if they don't come up with charges, they got to kick you loose.
Mm-hmm.
How come these people are still in prison after a year?
Yeah.
A year and a half. What's going on, folks? If people don't wake up and recognize that we're not in Kansas anymore,
yeah,
you know, we're going to lose our country. My recommendation right off the bat is if you're watching this show, you get on the horn and call Senator Cramer and Senator John Hoeven and Kelly Armstrong and say, what in the world are you doing to push back against this abuse of the Department of Injustice and the FBI? Against the President of the United States.
Right, right.
That's not to mention these people that are still sitting in prison. How come our representatives in Washington haven't done anything about that? To say this is outrageous is a gross understatement. I'm finding it harder and harder to believe that this kind of immoral, illegal, unconstitutional behavior, where we live in a police, it's effectively a police state as of now.
Mm-hmm.
It is effectively, we are now living in a police state.
Yeah.
Because the President of the United States was just harassed, threatened, and broken, and had his home broken into illegally.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Aaron texted and says, why haven't raids been done on Hunter and the Clintons? Exactly.
No, we know the answer.
Yeah.
We know the answer.
We already know that answer.
So for us to pretend like everything is normal and the people that are in charge, the people that are in the White House, the people that are in Congress are actually Americans that are actually upholding their oath of office, which is to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're kidding ourselves if we think that's what's going on. These people are domestic terrorists.
Sure.
They are enemies to our country. They're enemies to America. They should be arrested, tried, and imprisoned at best, or dealt with as traitors at worst, which is probably really what should happen today.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing I did forget, get out and vote today. I know I have to go vote when I get home today from work, so I get to make the trip to... I don't know, whatever that little small little town is. But anyway, it all starts somewhere. And by voting is a good start. So there we go.
Yeah. So what did Aaron say? Why haven't the raids been? Yeah. Under the cleanse. So I said to Kelly Armstrong when I saw him at the NDGOP convention several months ago, he was boasting about how they're going to have hearings. To look into some of the Biden stuff. I said, look, you can have, look, North Dakotans understand this. Mm-hmm. You can have hearings all day long. And we know that nothing's going to be done because the Obamas, the Bidens, the Bushes, the Clintons can get away literally with murder, with literal murder for the rest of their lives and nothing will be done about it. And he looked at me and his mouth dropped open. He had nothing to say. First time I've ever seen Kelly Armstrong speechless. He had nothing to say because he knew it was true.
Sure.
And right. So the question is, what are we going to do about it as Americans? Because we are the people, and the power, according to the Constitution, rests in we the people.
According to the what?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the purpose of an open mind, Dr. Dan, explain a little bit, if you would.
Well, so there's this misconception about what open-mindedness is mm-hmm. now. We're taught that it is everything is good.
Everything.
Well, no matter what, you have to accept it. And if you're not, you're accused of being not having an open mind, mm-hmm. for example. But that just doesn't reflect the nature of reality. The purpose of an open mind is to consider everything, to consider all points of view, but then hold these opposing points of view in your mind at the same time and bounce them off, have a little debate in your head about them and weigh the relative merits of things. It's just like we're talking about Donald Trump. I would say I'm not going to... People have heard my views on Donald mm-hmm. Trump. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, the FBI is overstepping his bounds. But, you know, my point of view is that Donald Trump, you know, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound shocking, but it's the truth. If the FBI went in and splattered Donald Trump's brains in the wall, I would be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't be happy. Happy is not the right word, but I think that's what he deserves.
Okay.
Why? Look what happened with COVID. I mean, blah, blah, blah. We've talked about that stuff in the past. But that's, I have a different opinion than David. Mm-hmm. I have a different opinion than you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the point of an open mind.
Yes.
Right? And they are totally destroying open-mindedness and critical thinking in this country, in this world, really. And they do it through all kinds of fantastic, powerful techniques. And there's another thing and thank you to Erin McSparren for sending me. She sends me all kinds of stuff, and I greatly appreciate it. She's better than ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox combined. I mean, it's not
close. For sure.
But Dr. Mike Eaton, just did an interview where he said that, and Dr. Mike Eaton is he's been one of the voices of like for true science and against the COVID narrative since basically
from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Although at the very beginning, Dan, I watched him and he really was confused. I mean, he didn't know what was going on. He just said, this doesn't make sense. Yep. What we're doing doesn't make sense. Now he totally gets it.
Right. And this guy was I think he was the senior vice president of research for Pfizer, I believe it was. A guy that was in the belly of the beast for mm-hmm. his whole career, very lucrative career. Open mind. He seems to be someone who has an open mind. I don't know him personally, thus I don't trust him. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. he seems to be a man that has an open mind, and you can watch the evolution. Just like Dr. Robert Malone, seems like they start at this one point, and then it's like, wow, they actually have this functioning brain where they consider all these points of view, and now they're, you know, red pilled, so to speak, as they call it.
Right. Mike, I think he was vice president of respiratory research for Pfizer.
Right.
I think that's
he made vaccines
in the EU.
Stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, he was a big believer. Yeah.
He just came out and claimed that there are no respiratory viruses. He just said there are no respiratory viruses, period.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Influenza, COVID, cold viruses, you name it, respiratory viruses, he says there are none. He says that they could possibly, he doesn't know what causes the common cold. He doesn't know these things, but he says it's not likely a virus in his opinion now because of some of his debates he's been having with people who are so-called virus deniers. Now, I don't know where I sit on this. You know, I like to sit in the middle. I don't know. I have my questions for both sides. So I haven't made up my mind. Still okay. Considering things, right?
Yep.
That's another thing is you don't need to come to a conclusion right away.
Sure.
Right when you hear information. Take your time and make sure you get it right.
Yes. Yes. You know?
That's a very important thing.
And, very important.
Yeah. And so it's these critical thinking that has been totally blunted. And I just want to talk a bit about imagination. It's a very powerful thing. It's a thing that's inherent to humans,
mm-hmm.
especially children.
Yep.
Especially. And imagination is based on image, right? That's the etymology of the word there. And the power of our culture, the power of screens, the power of television, movies, these things, is they create images that children grasp onto. And it provides them their whole worldview. Their entire worldview comes through images from the television, by and large, in your average American family now. That's not a good thing because it destroys imagination. Kids have never seen Australia or, you know, all these other fantastical places or sports with their own eyes. They don't mm-hmm. have never done that. But then everything is given to them through this television, their perception of reality. And within these images, you get things like a virus, vaccine, you know, like it's just one of the millions of images that are put into your mind. These things totally bias the imaginative process to these spoon-fed images.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know, speaking specifically within science, it is absolutely fundamental to have an imagination. It is a required part of the process. The public education system now totally stamps out imagination. You go into scientific learning, higher education, and there's nothing about imagination. There's nothing about how to think. Because if you're going to make a discovery, John, you are literally going to be the first person that ever had this thought his mind, mm-hmm. period.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, you have to imagine it. You have to imagine connections exist. You use some deductive logic based on some, you know, evidence you see, but then you're like, oh man, what if this is how it works? And that is a process of imagination, which they're totally blunting in us now. And so that is why I call this episode The Purpose of an Open Mind.
You know, back in the early 80s, when I got into radio, I went to school for radio and television. What really piqued my interest about radio was the fact that the listeners can use their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be this old commercial that was played back in the 80s and 90s where they explained something, and it's like, wow, I saw it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You use your own imagination just like books.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to kids reading books anymore where you can use your imagination? Of course, the writer of the book, the storyteller, they're going to tell you what they think or what they see or what they explain. But it's all up to you to use your imagination to what he is trying to get out to you. And that just cannot be done when the kids are glued to a TV or a screen.
And we have become so domesticated through this process. Our system is so incredibly corrupt. We have become so used to total corruption in all levels of government in particular. We've become so used to that it's just normal and we don't care anymore. And we're like scared of a new thing. Like if the health system went away for a week, 2 weeks, people would be scared. But look what happened with COVID. Were people dying in the streets when they couldn't go to the hospital? No, they weren't. We need a timeout big time. This system needs to stop. It is enslaving us. It is destroying our health. It is certainly destroying our minds. But people are so dependent upon their captor and they're so dependent upon the poison that they're fed, they can't possibly imagine another way forward. And that's, again, the key part there is imagination. We need to imagine a new system. Someone needs to develop a new system within their mind. We need to have 50, 100 people imagining new systems. And then we have debates about it freely, free conversation, and then implement what the best choices are on all these aspects. That needs to happen yesterday.
Sure.
Because this system is killing us. It's slaughtering us. Big time.
We got a couple of texts here. Aaron says, starting with the assumption that all people are good, the utopia that they think is possible to tell people is possible is dependent on the illusion that people are good. Chad types in, and I don't know if we've heard from Chad before, but He says, people talk about the Constitution, but need to realize the Constitution allows for contract law. Now, this brings into the consent of being a U.S. citizen when you more than likely are not. Look what a U.S. citizen is. What is the legislative authority of the United States? It is 10 square miles or that land ceded to it by the states for needful things. Title 28 U.S.C. 3002 tells us the United States is a federal corporation. Corporations are not government. Are you a citizen of a federal corporation?
Yeah, that's such a an interesting topic that I. It's definitely very. I'm reticent here because I have been interested in this thought process, this particular thing. I've heard a couple lectures over the years, and I haven't been able to devote myself to understanding what's going on with what Chad is talking about. But I think he's onto something. And I think it has something to do with especially Social Security numbers and stuff. And that gets into post Federal Reserve System. And what he's talking about goes even farther back than that, which I unfortunately am ignorant of. But this Social Security system was imagined by General Mandel House, who was Woodrow Wilson's handler.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about essentially enrolling people into a monetary system where they will be tracked and their government issued ID is a facsimile of who they are, but that's what we'll train them to believe. So they are intellectually servile to a slave system. And I don't, again, Chad, great comment. I don't know a lot about what he's talking about, but it's a very interesting discussion. And if he has some resources that he can link up there, I would actually love to take a look at it. So,
all right.
I'm having a hard time following the sentence structure in that text. The fact is that regardless of the fact that there is contract law, you can't. Yeah, there is. The Constitution does allow for contract law, but contracts aren't valid unless they're signed by both parties.
Sure.
So, I haven't had a chance to look into this either. I've heard it. I've had people make statements like that to me before. I can't make a contract with you unless you sign on the dotted line. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, I can't just say, hey, because I'm a regular here on GFBS, so I can make, I'll sign a contract for John Roberts.
Yeah, you can
I can't do that.
No, you can make all the contracts you want. It just has to be signed by both parties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if it's not signed by both parties, then it's not valid.
It's just a contract.
That actually goes all the way back to biblical times, thousands of years ago. So that's not a new concept. I mean, that's not a new European, imported idea. That goes back to scripture, that contracts and agreements between people have to be agreed to by both people, or it's not a contract.
Well, Chad says, if you go into a restaurant and order food and eat it, that is a contract. You need to pay. Okay, we get that. Marie says...
And when you do that, you agree when you order the food.
Sure.
It's understood that you're going to pay for the food.
Yeah, because
you order
the services,
food.
Yep.
But if you walk into a restaurant and they bring you a plate of oysters, they can't charge you for that if you didn't ask for them.
Right. Sure.
So in other words... It's a quid pro quo, right? Situation. Mm-hmm. It's this for that. I give you this, you give me that.
Right.
That's how it works.
Right.
You give me food, I'll give you money.
Let's see. Marie says it's another rabbit hole. Don't go down it. It's real for those who believe. What we need is to focus on what we can control locally. We need a community movement.
Maria is exactly right. I couldn't agree more. Marie is right. So what happened and why? So what's the value of talking about what happened with Mar-a-Lago, with this unlawful raid of President Trump's home? What's the value of talking about it? It lets us know at a local level what the feds are capable of, because they can actually go after the President of the United States.
Yeah.
Now, was what he did authorizing this vaccine, was that right? No. I don't understand it. I cannot understand his thinking. He had access to Dr. Scott Atlas, who was initially on the team. I mean, what about Scott Atlas? He was initially part of the what's it called? The the Rapid, the Thunder, Operation Warp Speed. Thank you. Right. and then, so he helped bring that thing to market quickly under President Trump's direction. And then after he did that, he did an about face and said, no, this is bad. This is not a good thing. Now, what does that tell me about Scott Atlas? Well, he was caught up in the excitement of finding a cure, finding a way of preventing this terrible virus from spreading through the country. But as he began to see more things, as he began to learn more things about this injection, which Dan has spent hundreds of hours studying, as he began to learn more about it, he started saying, wait a minute, this is not right. So that, to me, gives credibility to Scott Atlas, because he was at once all for it, and then he changed his position and said, no, this is, we need to stop this right away.
Right.
This is much more harmful than it is helpful. And you know what? That happens in medicine all the time. Good, well-meaning people do things that they think are going to help, and then they realize that was actually the wrong idea. Let's not do that again, which is why it's called the practice of medicine, right? Because they're practicing with what they think they know, and based on the best information that they have. I mean, we're not talking about crooks. I'm talking about doctors that have honor and integrity and that really want to do what's best for the patients. Those guys make mistakes.
Right. Sure they do.
They just do. So when someone makes a mistake and then they fess up and say, wow, that was wrong. I was wrong on this. We need to go the other direction. I respect that. Why President Trump is still maintaining the position that he did a great thing by pushing this thing to market very quickly, I don't understand that. I don't get that. So, I don't know. So does he know it's actually killing Americans? I have a hard time believing. I mean, Dan's got a different view of him than I do, but I don't think that he would intentionally kill Americans.
No, I'm guessing he was under a lot of pressure.
And propaganda.
To do something, and propaganda, exactly. Yeah. Got to be the poster boy for it, I guess.
And you've got to choose to believe someone, so he chose not to believe Charles Atlas, Scott Atlas.
Is he in the NWA?
He chose not to believe John F. Kennedy Jr., which I think that was a mistake, because I think Kennedy is absolutely right on this stuff.
You mean Robert Kennedy?
What, yes, thank you, Robert Kennedy.
One of them.
Robert,
there's like 100 of them. Yeah.
It's a Kennedy, right? Yeah. No. Thank you, Dan. I'm telling you, it is. I was talking with a friend of mine that works for Homeland Security the other day, and telling him about how my file of names has really been corrupted since I had COVID the second time. And he said, well, if you think of it as just a naturally occurring virus, that's one thing. But if you think of it as a bioweapon, that's another thing entirely, isn't it, in terms of the effect it has? And it's not just me. I mean, here's the Epoch Times, the last real newspaper left in the country, perhaps the world. Here it is, C1. I'm not going to read the article. How COVID and the vaccine age DNA. And it says, meditation. I don't believe in meditation. I believe in prayer. Well, meditation in the strictest sense of the word, meaning that you sit and you think about something.
Mm-hmm.
That's meditation. Not this kind of meditation. Yeah, that's not
doggy
what I'm
down,
about.
Whatever they call it.
That's not what that's I'm yoga. Talking about. Were you trying to
down dog? Oh.
It says meditation may help people recover from linked cognitive issues. Recover from linked cognitive. The operative phrase here is linked cognitive issues. Linked to what? Linked to COVID. In other words, a lot of people who have had COVID now have cognitive issues. Maybe that was Biden's problem. I doubt it. I think his problem started long before
he got
that.
It twice. So.
But I know, I can tell you from, and I heard, Dr. Gene Gullix talked about COVID brain, long before I ever had COVID. And I thought, but it's true. So the question is, can we recover from that? Is there something we can take? Is there a pill, a shot, a serum? Dan, help me out here.
No.
What? Well, not yet.
Fasting. Fasting, not I think, works. I mean, you just did another fast. You feel better after that?
Yeah, I feel better. I don't know any. I mean, I think, no. Okay. So Steve was telling me earlier this week that Wait, was it this week or last week that you told me? What was the thing you told me, Steve, about the new?
Who's Steve?
What?
Yeah, who's Steve?
You just said Steve twice. Like,
isn't that? Oh no, Dan. Right. Sorry.
But hey, no, hey, I think he's on to something here.
I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Cold over Angela.
But it's no, it's a real thing, and it's not just me. That's and it's specifically names, not just names of people, names of like companies that make equipment that I use in my mm-hmm. other business. I was the other day. I was making a list of things, and I'm going, what? What's that company? Man, I've known this company for years.
I do that all the time.
I could not think of it. Well, maybe you had COVID.
No, I blame it on the 80s.
Okay. I had a different experience. My 80s were pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is COVID-19 is a bioweapon. It is a bioweapon. That's not conjecture. It's not an opinion. That's fact. We know for a fact that Anthony Fauci diverted money through the NIH into the Wuhan lab where they were working on gain-of-function research on COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
That's an absolute fact. They didn't call it COVID-19, but maybe they did. I don't know. But our tax dollars went to produce this artificial or manipulated virus or pathogen, whatever it is. Virus, not virus, who knows? Who cares? It's a pathogen, right? It's a weapon. All right. We got to recognize that we're under attack as Americans.
Yeah, yes.
And the way we fight back is locally. Maria is right about that. We have to fight back locally. But we all have to fight back. We all have to do something, and we have to figure out what that is.
We absolutely do, and we absolutely need to talk about Oh for Heaven's Cakes. Now I'm hungry.
That's a good place to start.
Oh, man. Tell you what, best cupcakes, cakes around. Maybe you got a special occasion. Maybe you're just jonesing for a treat. Incredible items by order, or you could just walk in to find out more. And if you're hungry like I am and you're thinking about going to get one of these treats, you know what? Fill your belly up first. You can enjoy homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. If you're a business owner, check out their monthly employee discounts. Treat your employees to a nice little treat. And we're using the word treat a lot. They're on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. You can call them 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253. Or go to OhForHeavensCakes@yahoo.com. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. The purpose of an open mind is the Great Reset. Like we do every Tuesday here in Grand Forks Best Source, welcoming Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislawski at Midwest Public Health Coalition, along with Executive Director David Waterman. And where did we leave off here? We had to talk about one of my favorite things there. He's pointing at you.
Oh, you know, I just have a bunch of little news items.
Okay.
Just a lot of little things. New study came out, are lockdowns effective in managing pandemics? And they found that the price tag of lockdowns in terms of public health is high. By using the known connection between health and wealth, we estimate that lockdowns may claim 20 times more life years than they save. 20 times. There's a man who did a similar analysis in Canada who found that it costs 141 years more lives than they save. So for every year save of life saved from the lockdowns, it removes 141. Because again, COVID-19 by and large affects elderly people who are at the end of their life. People who are generally, I think the average age is of death from COVID-19 is still like 79.8, which is basically the exact same as the of life expectancy.
Sure.
So you're saving zero. I mean, again, someone who dies at that age of 79.8 years, whatever it is,
that's kind of the norm.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so you're not saving any years of life in that individual. So lockdowns are taking their tolls exclusively on the younger
and people. This is something that we have been talking about on the Great Reset here ever since ever since we started this thing, since its conception, we have been talking about this, more suicides, drug and alcohol abuse, child abuse, spousal abuse, it's not good.
Yeah,
and we've been trying to, I don't want to say cram this down people's throats, but it's getting to that point now where that's what we're almost doing.
Yes. And I wrote a thing up on lockdowns in my research. One of the, maybe the most shocking thing I found was that internet and pornography addiction exploded.
Oh, I would imagine.
And pornography was already, this is one of the most unbelievable stats I've ever heard in my life. Is that In 2019, so before COVID, before lockdowns, the most popular pornography website had, John, how many people do you think visited? How many visits do you think the most popular porn website on planet Earth got in the year 2019, just one website?
3 billion.
42 billion.
Oh, wow.
42 billion. Pre-lockdown, pre-COVID. I mean, at the beginning of the show, we talked about images being put in your consciousness to supplant your imagination. Pornography is a weapon. It destroys people. Mm-hmm. It destroys humanity. It was already 42 billion visiting one website in 1 year. In 42 billion visits, obviously, this is why the numbers are so mind-boggling. There's just under 8 billion people on planet Earth. How many people have access to
the internet? And people think that the plumber is going to show up at your house in 15 minutes.
And Dan...
Oh, man. Laugh because you can't cry.
The detrimental effect that it has on adults and married couples is one thing. But the effect that pornography has on children, especially mm-hmm. prepubescent children,
right.
is hasn't even begun to be registered or recorded. There's a man, I can't think of his name right now because my name file is broken, but he's been working in child sex trafficking, fighting that for 20 years. And he said that when a child is exposed to pornography, it literally causes them to turtle up. Mm-hmm. And they literally can't, because he says it harms them. It does great psychological and emotional harm to them.
Yeah.
And the result is that they're effectively useless as a defender of their family or their country. Mm-hmm. So these boys are not going to grow up to be men who know how to fight for the protection of someone else.
Right.
Because that's the damage that it, and now how does he know that? He's spent, I don't know, 20 years researching the psychological and emotional impact of pornography on kids and child sex trafficking and all that stuff. But to your point, that's been borne out by science and study.
Yeah. And look, I mean, what's happened in COVID-19, if we didn't have a bunch of porn addicted men out there,
yeah, right.
perhaps COVID-19 doesn't happen.
Right.
And that's what's so nice about, I mean, it's like Dr. Judy Reisman wrote a big book, an expose of Alfred Kinsey. And now I think Matt Walsh, I haven't seen anything that Matt Walsh has done, but I heard that he actually kind of exposes what Kinsey was doing in his most recent documentary called What is a Woman, I think. Ah. And Alfred Kinsey was a serial pedophile, absolute scumbag who wrote Sexuality in the Human Female in like 1947. And then I think 1952 is when Sexuality in the Human Male came out. And he was literally, this is going to be, you know, graphic, but was masturbating babies to see when they would orgasm and like for like this age range. I mean, this is, think about how long ago this was. Yeah, and he was at the University of Ohio or Indiana, one of those two. I can't ever keep them straight. But he had cover from he was a very powerful and connected man. And him plus Hugh Hefner, they added these two guys together, and then they sold it to the United States. And this is cultural Marxism. This is the process of cultural subversion, and thus you get. There are people who think they gave us the internet so that they could put porn on there to destroy us. Yes. I mean, that's the one thing that people they get you excited for. Like, it's the same thing when they have.
You mean that's a theory?
Right. But I mean, it resonates, right? I mean, it has that certain ring to it.
Whether it was invented that way or not, it was certainly a venue for that.
And it's the same thing with the old television shows where they'd have like the Beatles, not a good example. They'd have these young band guys come on. Yeah. And they'd be like falling out of their chairs. They'd be drunk and high and stuff, you know? And it's like, oh, you naughty boy. You know, the host would be like, tis, tis, tis. But that kids are seeing that and they're like, oh, that's cool. I want to be like that. Yeah. Same thing with pornography. All these articles are coming out right away when the dawn of the internet and like talking about how bad all this pornography was on there. You know, we got to get, it's just terrible, terrible, terrible. But that causes a flood. It piques the interest, you know, things that seem forbidden, but you have access to when you know, your mom and dad are, you know, asleep and you know, you hear that, what, remember the old internet sound when you had to dial in, you know?
Yeah,
and then they
yeah.
just, you go on and search, you know, and it's like, it creates that. And again, this supplants the image of what normal sexual behavior is. And it creates this weird thing and fetishized thing that people have to live up to. And we now have generations of kids that are raised on that.
Mm-hmm. And we also know that it can start off with something as mild as, you know, naked women in Playboy magazine, you know, beautifully photographed, beautifully airbrushed, right? Mm-hmm. So that they're fake. But that's at some point, so what happens? There's some kind of dopamine response, right? There's something that happens in the brain, a level of excitement for someone who's never seen that before. Mm-hmm. And then they go from there to, at some point, you don't get that same level. How does that work, Dan? I mean, I suppose you probably don't know anything about that stuff, but...
Well, it's called...
He did his PhD.
Yeah. It's called prediction error, actually. And so there are neurons in your brain constantly assessing all the stimuli in your environment. And the stimulus that produces the most elevated dopamine response achieves what is called incentive salience, or the most important incentive. And your brain's like, this is the thing you need to pursue. And that there's a whole bunch of parts of your brain that activate in terms of attention. And then your prefrontal cortex is, you know, like maintaining discipline and being like, okay, I got to focus on this thing, right? But with addiction, what happens is that prediction error and that flood of dopamine you get with drugs, anything that is specifically designed to activate the pleasure pathway, like sex, right. All the sex, drugs, rock and roll, like those three things really hit that pleasure center. And when you're not expecting that and you see the pornography or you take the drug or you listen to that new beat or whatever it is, you get this much higher dopamine response than you're expecting. Thus, you get a positive prediction error, and you try and recapitulate that every single time with drugs.
That means repeat it.
Yeah, with drugs, it's I need more drugs. I need more drugs. With sex, I need more sex. I need more risky sex.
So why can't someone go buy their first Playboy magazine and then just keep it and just be satisfied with that? And then Hefner goes out of business. And he just keeps looking, because it was a thrill the first time he opened that page and saw that fold out or whatever. That was a thrill. How come can't he just save money and keep using the same magazine?
Yeah, no, it's you need novelty, right? You need new experience to achieve that same thing. And this is why, again, porn destroys marriages, you know, because you even TV, if you're watching movies that have beautiful women in it as the main actress or supporting actresses, you're not going to be happy with your wife, because you're going to be like, oh, she's so pretty, I want to be with her all the time now. Oh, man, gee, my wife, it doesn't add up to that, you know? So turn it off, folks.
Okay, so I would beg to differ there, because I think that it depends on how you met your wife and what kind of a relationship you have with your wife. I mean, the guy like Ben Affleck, he might have that response starring with a new actors,
because divorce rates are going down, right? Marriages are
in Hollywood. Happier. Hollywood has always led the nation in divorce, right? But my point was, the point that I wanted to get to is that at some point that first Playboy magazine doesn't satisfy anymore, mm-hmm. and so you need another one, and then another one, and then after a while, they all begin. Look, before I was a Christian, I had a subscription to Playboy magazine. And I read it. Yeah, I did actually read it. There were some really good writers writing for that magazine.
There used to be.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea, because I haven't looked at it for decades. Mm-hmm. But back then, and one day I realized, man, this is all about this is hedonism. Mm-hmm. This is pleasure for the sake of pleasure, and everything, you know, sex, the images, the Rolex watches, the cars, mm-hmm. the fancy clothes, the. You know, the wines, the everything. It was all a very hedonistic magazine. And when I realized that, I stopped buying it. But my point is that at some point, even a subscription to Playboy magazine, they're different women, but it's still the same stuff. And after a while, you need something more than that to get that same reaction of excitement, right? And so I'm not going to mention his name, even though I know his name. There was a serial killer that was put to death in, what was it? Was it California, Texas? I don't remember where. A couple of decades ago, who was a wicked, wicked, twisted serial killer. And he, the night before he was executed, he did an interview.
Yeah, it's Bundy, yeah. Why don't you mention his
name? I just don't want to give him credit. Oh. I just don't want to say his name, because mm-hmm. anyway.
He's a very smart guy. That's an awesome interview, and people should watch it. It's very elevated.
Yeah, Dr. James Dobson interviewed him, and he said that he started off as a pretty normal guy. and he got into pornography. And then after a while, just looking at naked women wasn't enough. Then he needed more explicit pictures of naked. And then he needed to see, you know, women having sex. And then he needed to see women. It got more and more twisted because that pleasure center needed something new and different and weird. It got weird. And it got to the point where he couldn't. He the only thing that would satisfy him was to do violence to women. And so... And I'm not saying that I think that happens to everyone, because obviously it doesn't happen to everyone, or we would have, you know, it would be epidemic in the world. Pornography has been around for thousands of years. It's not, I mean, anybody that's been to Pompeii knows that.
Yeah.
But the harm that it has on our society is, I think it's incalculable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one aspect of what, I mean, that has softened us up, right? That softened up our culture and the men in our country, so that now they're much more easy to push around. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we don't think of pornography as weakening your moral will, but it really does.
Oh, absolutely.
It really does. So how do you, but and how many millions of men now are hooked on it? I mean, they're addicted to it. So it takes addiction counseling or some type of addiction therapy to overcome that and break free from it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is sex so powerful? It's been said that sex is the most powerful thing on planet Earth when it comes to men. That's why the warnings in Scripture are so great. It warns men about the wayward woman. I've never found a passage in Scripture that warns women about a wayward man.
Mm-hmm.
Never. It just doesn't, because women are wired differently than men. Oh, wait, what's a woman again? Okay, so... So that's just the way that men are. And so it is. And that's why spies use women to infiltrate other governments. You know, governments use women to infiltrate if they can get in bed with the guy that they want to get the secrets from. That's very effective.
Vice President. did I say that all out? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. So if you're an elected official, you can be sure, especially if you're in some position of importance. If you're a male elected official, you can be certain that at some point in your career, a very attractive female will try to seduce you, and she will be playing for the other team. And I'm not talking about the Democrats, although in this case it could be the Democrats, because the Democrats are now these days are basically Marxists and communists. Anyway, Dan, I didn't mean to take you off of your...
Oh, no, that's okay.
Your point about...
And like you were talking about how it breaks down the moral fabric of society. I mean, now I think Aaron... put a thing up there. There's a book at the Grand Forks Public Library called Gender Queer or something, she said, and like middle schoolers can read it. And this is how it happens, is generations of people get their sexual mores totally destroyed. And when everything is off, you know, it's all fair game. All forms of sexual behavior are fair game. Eventually pedophilia will be fair game. And this is how the process of degradation, moral degradation, works. So it is a massive, I mean, again, free speech, pornography is not free speech.
Yeah, no, and if these books are available to middle school age kids, Aaron also said parents in other states have read from the book at school board meetings and been told it was too explicit to be read on their air and had the mics turned off.
But it's okay for the kids to read. It's okay for grade school kids.
It's okay for the kids to read.
That's okay.
Yep.
Marie makes a good point replying to Aaron's statement. She says, we go to the library every week. The selection is robust and in every age category. Every age category.
Yep.
Folks, I'll tell you what. Anybody... So let's step back for a minute, look at the big picture. For 30 years, I've tried to warn people, anyone who would listen, that there are folks out there who hate America. They hate our freedoms. They hate the fact that we're the strongest nation and most prosperous nation in the history of the world.
There's Americans who hate America.
We have created... They're not Americans,
though. No, right.
We've created more wealth in just over 200 years than any nation in the history of the world. Do you know that? We've created more wealth. We have pulled more people from poverty to wealth in America through the combination of our constitutional rights that are secured by the Constitution, and supposedly kept for us by our government, and the free market economy. that those two things have produced, and the Judeo-Christian values that our country was founded on, has created more wealth in just over 200 years than any nation in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And so they're attacking it. Why would anybody attack it? You know, that is the oldest trick in the book. Did you know that? It's the oldest trick in the book. Doesn't no matter how good you have it, no matter how good you have it, the enemy of you, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of your freedoms, will work very hard to convince you that you don't have it good enough.
Oh, sure.
So let's see. Here's a recent example. Okay. Let's imagine this. Let's say that you didn't go through the 80s. Let's say that you were in perfect physical condition. I mean, you're a perfect specimen, right? You look like a gymnast, mm-hmm. right? The gymnasts who do the high bar and rings,
yep,
okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
And V body just ripped.
Totally, yep, absolutely yep. right. And your wife is the same. She's the female counterpart to that, mm-hmm. right? And let's say that you have you find your way to paradise. So you're living in a place where there's no disease, there's no sickness, no pain. You have literally everything that you want. And the person that owns the paradise says, hey, listen, you and your wife, get together and make kids. Okay? You have literally everything. The best food, the best weather, the best everything. What more could you want? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine anybody convincing you?
You wouldn't need anything more.
You wouldn't need anything more. Nope. Can you imagine anybody convincing you that you've been shortchanged? Can you imagine that?
No, yeah.
Could someone convince you you've been shortchanged?
There's always those people
when you're in
out
that
there.
Situation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, the person was a guy named Satan. He took the form of a serpent and convinced Eve, hey, God's holding out on you. Yeah, he knows. Hey, if you, oh, he said you can eat all this stuff and do any of that stuff. Yeah, but you eat that fruit right there from that tree. That's when life
that's
really starts.
Where it's at. Yep.
And she believed it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the oldest trick in the book. By lying to someone, you persuade them that no matter how good their life is, it's really not good enough. It's actually not good at all. It's really bad. And you need to rebel against it. So Eve led Adam to rebel against God, and the results are catastrophic, and we're still suffering from them. But it's exactly the same technique that Satan used through these globalists, through the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab, and Bill Gates, and all of them to say, hey, America's a terrible place. We need BLM. We need riots. We need to protest. We need to make America. America's a terrible, horrible place. No, it's not. It's the best country in the history of the world.
Yeah.
You've got the most freedom, the most opportunity for creating wealth, for creating a wonderful place for you and your family. Dan and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and we said, yeah, you know what? If there weren't psychopaths trying to run the world, we could literally be living in, it could be practically paradise right here on Earth.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to add another quick text here. Marie has been trying to get in here, but she says the Grand Forks City Council now. They're going to announce the first reading of new guidelines for public input and First Amendment rights. So that means, maybe I'm not quite right here, but does that mean the Grand Forks City Council, they can tweak the First Amendment the way they think it should be tweaked or fixed or whatever?
They may very well think that they can do that.
It's the First Amendment.
Yes, it is.
And they're going to say they've got new guidelines for public. And this is all about the fact that people are showing up at the city council hearings.
Yeah.
And they're not happy. They want their voices heard. Some of them might not do it exactly the most right way to do it. But otherwise, nobody's going to listen.
And
so they show up at these council hearings. And now they're going to tell you what your First Amendment rights really are. I'm not too sure about that.
Sounds par for the course for them, though.
It kind of does sound par for the course, doesn't it? You know what? You know why I haven't been at the city council for over a year? You know why?
Mm.
It's not because I'm afraid of them. It's because it's a waste of time.
Sure.
Those people do not represent the people of Grand Forks. And they don't listen to the people of Grand Forks. They do not listen. They do not listen. None of them. The mayor, the city council, none of them. They've all become, in my opinion, worthless. They're worthless. And so now they're going to restrict people's First Amendment rights? Yeah, go ahead and try. Well, guess what? Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, people need to obviously. We just unfortunately we just had an election, so we have to wait 2 years. But there needs to be a big change, big time. And I think if they are actually, I mean, if this sounds, I'll reserve judgment until we understand what's going on here exactly. But if they are trying to subvert the First Amendment, then they need to be removed from office. I mean, quite simply.
Well, they need to be, right, I agree, but they need to be removed anyway, because all of them who voted for this Fufang thing, all of them,
right,
they're traitors to our country.
Yeah, and they're ignoring the will of the people.
They're saboteurs to America and to North Dakota and to Grand Forks and to the Grand Forks Air Force Base. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of information that's available for them to look at to make the right decision, and yet they continue to make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. Hello? Wake up, folks. I'm going to say this, and this might sound harsh. If the city of Grand Forks doesn't step up to the plate in 2 years and vote every one of them out of office that's up for re-election, then we deserve what's coming to us.
Yeah.
Because every single one of them needs to go and be replaced with somebody who's actually going to follow the Constitution and do what's best for our city. Oh, he's just against business. Yeah, right. Yeah, like this comment that the mayor made about, oh, what are we going to do now? Decide to kick out the Chick-fil-A? I'm sorry, that's an asinine statement.
That was...
That's asinine.
I know, but also...
No buts?
Yeah, there is buts. These are guys that are on my show.
Okay.
And these are guys that I truly think do look out for the best of Grand Forks, but...
But they're not. Why
aren't
they?
But I'm not going to jeopardize these guys not coming on my show again because of that. I mean, you know what I mean?
John, what would you do if the guys from East Grand Forks City Council were coming on the show?
I'd love to have them on.
And they're saying... And they come on the show and they talk about how important it is to do put this asphalt plant
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to... What? You're going to give them the same...
That's... All right, we strayed way too far.
So anyway, the point is, these are supposed to be public servants.
Yes, yes.
We don't serve them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they come on your show.
No, But
if they use your show as a mouthpiece for more propaganda and to discredit the men and women who are doing the real work of finding out the truth about this Fufang thing and the risks and the hazards that it puts to our national security, not to mention to Grand Forks, to allow them to come on the show and discredit those people, I think that's wrong.
Okay, now, here's what this is all boils down to for me, David. I have no say whatsoever. I publicly have not made any statements about Fufang or Fufang or whatever you want to call it, but I do think that there was a mistake made because I do think, like our mayor thinks of Grand Forks, that this should have been brought up to a vote. Let the citizens of Grand Forks, and he was all for that. I don't know about the city council, if they were for it or not, but it should have just went to a vote. That way, all of this crap would maybe be done with here coming up in November.
So I talked to some of the folks that were behind getting the signatures for the vote, and they were told they need, what was it, 2,400 signatures, 2,800? I don't remember the number.
Way more than that.
They got way more than that. And the city council and the mayor said, yeah, well, look, if you want to put it for a vote, go get the signatures, and we'll put it for a vote. That's what they were told by our city leaders.
Right. Oh, I know.
But go get the signatures. They said, go get the signatures and bring them back, and we'll put it up for a vote.
Right, right.
But they went and they got the signatures, and then those same city leaders said, oh, wait a minute. No. You know what? Let's have the police department. Let's have someone from the Grand Forks Police Department call the people that got those signatures and harass them and try to invalidate enough signatures so that we can just throw it all out. That's what they did. You know what that is? That's called misfeasance.
Why weren't lawyers or anybody else brought in on this then?
They were. The city lawyer was brought in to do a whack job on those names. And that's what he did.
All right.
Okay. So that's misfeasance.
Sure. Yeah.
That's just wrong. That is wrong. That's wrong. And they need to be held accountable.
I agree. I agree there.
Good.
Dr. Dan, you want to end with anything?
Well, there's just, you know, not really. I guess there's a lot more to talk about, obviously, but it's all right. Yeah. It's just stuff we can talk about next week. So it's no big deal. Just I'll end with, I love you all. Thank you for watching this wonderful show.
We love you too, Dr. Dan. Yeah,
this is great that we can have these conversations on.
It is.
Freely.
It is.
You know, it's important too.
Yeah. And you know what? We all agree. We tend to disagree once in a while. Mm-hmm. We're all in this same boat together. Mm-hmm. As U.S. citizens, law-abiding, tax-paying U.S. citizens, We're all on this boat together. We're in this boat together, and our country needs help, and it starts with you people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not going to start anywhere else. It starts with you.
And talking about it is one thing, but we need action. Yeah. We need people that are actually going to stand up and fight, yeah. stand up and vote for the right, pay attention. And look, you know, you think I'm being hard on Bochensky. I not only voted for him, I endorsed him.
Yeah.
I endorsed him. I put a 4x8 sign that said Brandon Bochensky for mayor in my front yard. I wouldn't do that today. I would not do that today. You know, I want to like him, but you got to go by the actions of these elected officials. And once you become an elected official, I'm sorry, all bets are off. We're watching what you do, and you do the right thing, and good. That's what you're supposed mm-hmm. to do. You do the wrong thing, I'm going to call you on the carpet.
Sure.
And you deserve to be called on the carpet. And all of us should be calling yep. those people on the carpet. And everybody in Grand Forks should be paying attention to what's going on and learning the truth so that they can hold those folks accountable, if not now, certainly at the ballot box next time around. Because Agreed. None of them deserve to be revoted into the current position, and certainly not to any higher position, which many of them desire.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
No, that's not true, David. Come on.
Sorry.
I guess I do have one closing thought that I was kind of just thinking about, and that's we really need to, I mean, the world, I think most people would agree the world is kind of in a bad place right now. Is that a strange statement?
No.
I think most people agree with that, right?
Yes.
In fact, it's very bad. We gotta realize, like, what future are we leaving to our children? We're supposed to be making it better for them. Our parents, I would argue, failed my generation big time.
Mm-hmm.
We're watchers at the gate, so to speak, and let a lot of things slide. Granted, yes. there wasn't the internet age, but we are about to leave something horrible to our children.
Sure. Yeah.
We must stop this. We must. It is absolutely insane what is happening, and the insanity must end.
And Dan, I want to respond to that, if I may, because, and in fact, I was just having a conversation about this with my oldest son, who lives in Minneapolis, referring to groups of people as generations has limited value. I mean, it can be helpful if you're a statistician or if you're a historian, you're looking back at these different eras where something happened. But to refer to people as being part of this generation or that generation, it really is of limited value, because ultimately we're individuals. And it's the individual decisions that people make that matter.
Sure.
It's how your parents raised you. It's how my parents raised me. Not how your parents' generation raised you or my parents' generation. It's not how my generation raised their kids that matter. It's each individual. And so when I stand before God, I will be judged not for how other people live their lives, but how I live mine and how I raise my kids.
Well, David, I wasn't referring to you, but individuals of my parents' generation have failed. There you go.
Well, certainly they have. But
it's mine too.
And I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that it's limited value to lump people into generations. It's very popular.
No, it's not.
It's very popular.
See, now I disagree.
But here's the reason I say that, Dan, because if you're a generation, if you're just a group, you can't do anything. But if you recognize the power that you have as an individual right now, today, right now, that just might spur you to action. You can't say, well, you know, other people in my generation, they're going to do something. No, they won't. It's up to you as an individual.
And nothing referring to generations does not remove that at all.
All I said was
painting a picture of generations are being culled and being and fully going along with their servitude and spreading it, making it even worse for their children.
They are. I'm just saying that it's of limited value to refer to generations. When I talk to people, especially people in their 20s today, I hear, well, my generation doesn't really believe that, or my generation. I say, stop talking about your generation. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you as an individual. I care about what you think. I care about what you believe. I care about what you do as an individual, because that's when things begin to change, when people recognize themselves as individuals and that their own individual actions and beliefs and statements matter. And then that's my only point. That's my point. Gentlemen, I know you wouldn't disagree with that.
No. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much for having us.
To all the people that have been texting in, we're sorry we couldn't answer all of your texts, but you know what? You can always go back and watch the show, and you know, we'll get back to you as soon as we can, all right? Thank you again. The Great Reset, Executive Director David Waterman and Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. The website again is, what do they call it? One more time.
Or realcovidfacts.org.
Realcovidfacts.org. There you go. Check it out. And the show, by the way, brought to you by the Mayor's Back the Badge Ride. It's back for its second year, August 24th from 4:30 to 9. Yeah, Mayor Bochansky is excited to invite UTV, ATV, motorcyclists, and even golf cart enthusiasts together to enjoy a family-friendly recreation within Grand Forks city limits. This is all supporting the Grand Forks Police, Grand Forks Sheriff, and University Police Department. Now, as part of the festivities this year, they're excited to announce Zero Gravity Outreach. It's a motorbike and quad aerial display. Now, this is a great chance to show off your support for these brave men and women who dedicate themselves each day to protecting our community. Schedule of events will be coming soon. It's the Mayor's Back to Badge Ride. It's coming up August 24th. We'll be there. If you want to register, go to mayorsbackthebadgeride.com. Man, tomorrow we are busy. We got your morning update coming up at 9, the Berkshire Hathaway podcast at 10, at 11. We're going to talk with Nicole Kringsted with the Grand Forks Optimist Club about a big upcoming fundraiser that they've got going on. And, of course, at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, big screens and TV streams. All right. Hey, remember, everybody, to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. Become a patron on Podbean, too. Might win some cool GFBS swag, maybe a hat like this one here, all right? Hey, Grand Forks, great place to live. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.